It's you I live for.
It's you I live for.
One more time. Every day.
Every day.
It's you I live for. Say, but it's you gave me life, and I can't explain just how much you mean to me now.
All right. Woo. Here we go again. God is good. Welcome, everybody, to Open Arms Community Church. We're glad that you're here. Again, happy Mother's Day. And I want to welcome you to part two of this series called The Ultimate OS. And if you're not a techie person, if you're not a geek or a nerd, right? You may feel like, oh, I don't know if this is going to apply to me. Don't worry. I will be explaining things in such a way that you will understand. So I want to very quickly explain that we live in a modern world, a technology world. And this is the analogy that we are using to better understand who God is, what he has done for us, and how he wants to work in our life. And so, you know, we all are using computers today. We have cell phones, we have flat screen TVs, tablets, gaming systems, and every one of those machines, every one of them has hardware, which is this stuff. And then on the inside, it has software, which is the starts with the operating system and then the applications. And so these are the things that we are using on a regular basis. And whether you realize it or not, we, by God's design, in fact, in your outlines, I want you to notice, and this is a bit of a refresher, we've recognized that God is the master builder and programmer. So we have some hardware too. It's this flesh and bone and blood stuff. However, we also have some software. We have an operating system on the inside, and the starting point of an operating system is known as the kernel. And you can consider that like the heart or spirit of an individual. The kernel is not the end of anything, it's the beginning of everything. Okay? And this is the starting point of your being. It is the part of you that is most eternal. When your flesh and blood die and are buried in the ground, you continue to live on. This kernel is the starting point of that being. It is referred to in Scripture as your heart or the spirit of man. And from that kernel, God builds into us an operating system by which we are meant to engage and function in life. Now, there are many applications, and we're going to talk about that in a moment. But first, again, a bit of a refresher is that when God first designed us, humanity, and he first designed this operating system, the thing to know is that our operating system is unique in that where a computer can only do what you tell it to do, God made humanity in such a way that we have free will. We can free will too. But we have free will. We are sentient beings, and we are able to make decisions and choices that may be completely in line with what is right, true, and good, and of God, or we can totally rebel. We can thumb our nose at the Creator and say, we're going to do what we want to do, when and how we want to do it. And we really don't care what you say, God, nor who gets hurt in the process, even if it's me, as long as I'm doing what I want to do, and it's bringing me what I want. Now, this free will gave us the choice, as we mentioned, to love God, for which we were created for, or to reject him and do our own thing. And what it did is this, by choice, we as human beings, every one of us, have accepted a virus called sin. Now, in the operating system world, in the computer world, viruses are created And they are sent into these machines to create problems, breakdowns, crashes. And that's exactly what sin has achieved in our lives. As you and I chose to be self-ruled instead of God-ruled, what has happened is that our selfishness has created conflict or corruption. This virus called sin has so worked in our lives that we have now become a less than species. The word sin literally means to do less than, to choose or act or speak in a less than way, less than perfect. And that's exactly what's happened with humanity, is that we have embraced this sin standard, this sin virus, and as a result, we've become something far less than God intended us to be. But if that were just the story, and if that were the end of the story, we really wouldn't have much reason for gathering here today. We would sleep in on Sunday morning. In fact, even the Bible says, if that's the end of the story, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. However, that's not the end of the story. There's good news, and that is that God, who is love and is truth, loves us, still wants us to be his family, which was his original intention in creating us, and he did something about it. How many have ever seen the movie Tron? So again, I'm going to appeal to our nerds and our geeks. But in the movie Tron, there is a character by the name of Kevin Flynn who creates a computer program, and he actually goes into that program. He invades it and goes in and tries to fix what is right. And that's exactly what Jesus did. God took on, instead of digital, like in the movie Tron, instead of a digital existence, he took on a flesh and blood existence, which defies our human understanding, and he became one of us. And as one of us, he did for us what we could not do for ourselves. And he introduced a new kernel option. So now, where in the world before Jesus, there was only one option, and that was this operating system that was passed down from parent to child. So through natural birth, we were all sinners. We were all less than creatures than what God originally created us for. However, when Jesus came and gave us this new opportunity for a new kernel, God said, listen, I want to give you, in Ezekiel 36, he said, I want to give you a new heart, a new spirit. That means that there's now a second option. We no longer have to merely just be creatures born of a sinful race that are damned to eternity in hell forevermore, but we can now be a redeemed people, a people that fulfill our creation purpose, which was to be God's family, his children, the object of his affection, by taking on, by choosing, once again, it's a choice, free will, you don't have to accept it, but we can choose this divine life operating system. So we get a choice now. There's the sinful operating system, also known as the death operating system, that is received by birth, natural birth, or we can embrace the new, the divine life operating system by spiritual rebirth. Jesus referred to it as being born again. Makes sense so far, right? So, Jesus, though, said, we're going to start with that kernel. But then he went on to say, we're going to build on that kernel. We don't just stay in this infantile state. God expects this to grow and become a full-blown operating system. In Hebrews chapter 10, this is what God said. He said, this is the covenant. Now, circle the word covenant, and beside that, I want you to write the word operating system. Now, in real life, the word covenant means a relationship. These are the rules of the relationship. That's what the word covenant means. It's a commitment that has certain rules and guidelines that you're going to operate by. When you get married, you make a pledge, till death do you part, that you will love one another, respect one another, cherish one another, value one another, and be faithful to one another till your last breath. Yes? Those are the rules of the covenant. Well, God has rules of the covenant too. In our analogy of the computer world, we're going to refer to this as the operating system. Now, this is the covenant or operating system that I will make with them after that time, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts. Now stop there. Circle the word laws. Beside the word laws, I want you to write the word code. Because this is God's code that's going to be programmed into our kernel. See the word heart? Circle the word heart. There's the kernel. So in your heart, in your kernel, in your spirit, God is going to write his program, his code, his operating system. And I will write them on their minds. This is your hard drive where you're remembering stuff. Now, when it comes to this code, last week we talked about that God was going to give us this new kernel, because you can't have an operating system without a kernel. The kernel is the heart, it's the core, the spirit, it's the beginning, not the end, it's the beginning of an operating system. But you have to have more than a kernel. You have to have program. You have to have something that now builds on it. And that's what God says he wants to do. I'm going to put my code, my law in your heart. Now, in your outlines, I want you to note that God's code for the life operating system is truth and love. Truth and love. I know we might be expecting some deep mystical thing, but there it is. In fact, in 2 John chapter 1, it says, grace, mercy, and peace. How many are looking for grace, God's favor and blessing? Sure. How many are looking for God's mercy, where God doesn't give you what you deserve, right? So grace is God giving us what we don't deserve, and mercy is God not giving us what we do deserve. And I don't know about you, but I want both of those at work in my life. And then peace. Aren't we all looking for peace? And not just the tranquility part of peace, but the word peace in the Bible literally means soundness, wholeness, stability, and strength. No matter what you're facing or going through, doesn't that sound like what we're looking for? Stability, soundness, tranquility, strength. Yeah. So grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, will be with us. So these are God's gift to us in what? Truth and love. There's your code. Some of us are looking for some major, deep, mystical mystery, but here's the reality. God is love and God is truth. And this is the code of the nature of God. This is the code of the divine life operating system. In the digital world, I don't know if you've ever seen it, but if you were to look on a screen and see what a computer code looks like, you're going to just see ones and zeros. It looks boring. Now, not to a programmer. They salivate over this stuff. This is awesome. And they just love geeking out and figuring all these new things to add in. But to you and I, the novice person, we're going to look and think, that's too simple to do all this? It's a bunch of ones and zeros? And you and I might have a hard time wrapping our heads around that God really did this so simple. It's just truth and love? Yeah. So many people are wanting to go deeper. They want grandiose revelation. They want some existential experience with God. They think that they've got to have some major, deep, insightful, and they think that this is going to be life-altering and changing somehow. They're looking for something hard from God. God, show us your greatness. Well, here it is. Truth and love. That's it. That's it. Sometimes we get wondering, you know, is there anything more like this whole church thing? That a lot of times we're just kind of talking about the same stuff. Well, it all has the same starting point. It all has the same code. Truth and love. Now, we may clamor and we may cry out for deeper and more, and we want deeper revelation and new stuff. But the funny thing is, God isn't going to take you deeper into the deep end when you can barely swim in the shallow end. Some of us have a hard enough time following the simple, clear, concise directives to love our enemy, to forgive those who have wronged us, to honor God with our wealth, to not abuse alcohol or drugs, to not live in sexual immorality, to not steal. We have a hard time obeying those few simple ones, and we're saying, God, take me in the deep end. God, I want more, and here's how you get to the deep end. And I've got to tell you, I've been following Jesus faithfully, and some of you have been doing it a lot longer than me. But on May 25th, it'll be 28 years that I've been following Jesus, and I have seen God do radical things in my life. And I can tell you, there is a stability, there is grace, there is mercy, and there is peace in my life, and it is not what it was 28 years ago. It's only increased. It is more and more. And I want to tell you how I got it. Truth and love. Same thing. Over and over and over again. And you want to know what our problem is? We live in this frenetic world where we have fads coming and going faster than we can blink. And we become a people that have to have something new, something fresh all the time. And we get tired of the same old, same old. We get tired of the stale. Are you tracking? Why is it that many times we find husbands and wives divorcing one another when really they don't have a bad marriage? You want to know what the problem is? We just don't love each other anymore. What are we saying? We're bored. We need something new. We want something fresh. I'm going to tell you something. If you can become a master of the basics, if you can become an expert in the fundamentals, then trust me, God will take you into the deep end. And he will show you things that will blow your mind. But why is it that when we have a bad day, all of a sudden we're getting angry at God? Or maybe we have a bad year or a bad decade, and we start finding fault with God. We start criticizing God or the people around us. Guess what just happened? We just broke from our operating system, truth and love. It is that simple. Jesus said it's so simple that a child can do it. A lot of us are looking for hard because somehow we think that that's what it should take and we need to earn and deserve. Let me tell you, you will never earn or deserve God's love or his grace and mercy. Never. But because of what he did for you, you do now deserve it. Not of your own merit, but because of what he did. And let me tell you, he's got a lot that he wants to offer you. You know, every one of us, we're celebrating Mother's Day. Is there a mother that would not want to bless her children and help them? We know that there are some perversions out there. But really and truly, it's in our heart as parents that we want to love on our kids and we want to bless them. We want to give them more than we ever had, right? We want them to be able to do what we've never been able to do. That's from God, friends. And that is God's heart toward us. Now, this is the code: truth and love. When you are operating in life and you break from either one of those two things, that's where you're going to have the breakdown. It's where you're going to have the crash. Now, there are some common applications. In your outlines, notice there are some common applications to life, but they operate differently and produce different results. So some common applications would be marriage. Most people will get married, whether they're a Christian or not a Christian. The handling and management and building of wealth. All of us will deal with money in this life. How we take care of our bodies, how we entertain ourselves, how we engage in sexuality, what we do with food and drink. All of these life applications are common to all people, Christian and non-Christian alike. But how we engage them is to look very, very different. Because with the new operating system, we are going to engage in every one of those areas, relationships, you name it, friendship, work. We're going to engage in every one of these things according to truth and love. That is the code that will be written in to how I engage in my workplace, how I engage at the grocery store and behind the wheel. Right? Truth and love. The best experience, and this is what we're looking for, the best experience in life is found in this Divine Life OS. Friends, all you got to do is look around and see that there are lots of self-help people out there. There are lots of opinions on how you should parent, how you should have a happy, successful marriage, how you should engage in wealth building and management, how you should, you know, get educated, how you should party it up. There are all kinds of opinions and ideas of how you should live your life, but the best experience is doing it God's way. In 2 Peter chapter 1, this is what God said. His divine power has given us everything, circle the word everything, that we need for life and godliness. Do you see that promise? Whatever it is you're facing, whatever it is you're going through, whatever it is that you need, God has planned for and provided for. But how do we access it? Note this next. Through our knowledge of Him. Underline that phrase. Through our knowledge of Him. Who called us by His own glory and goodness. So it's not you earning and deserving it. It's just that God is good. Verse 4. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises. Circle the word promises. So that through them, underline through them because it's through knowing those promises, you may participate in the divine nature. Circle the word participate and circle the word divine nature. And beside the word divine nature, write life OS. That is the life, the divine life operating system that we are talking about. You get to escape, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. So circle the word corruption. Friends, the corruption is the embracing of the virus called sin that causes us to operate less than according to what the programming God intended of love and truth. So notice that through His promises, through knowing Him, through knowing His promises, this is how we participate in the divine nature, that operating system. Now notice, we escape corruption. What does that word corruption mean? It means to be spoiled, broken, damaged, ruined, and destroyed. And if you look at some of us, we have been operating in a way that's been corrupted. Our operating system, our life has been corrupted by this sin virus. And so whether it's in our bodies, maybe in our minds, our attitudes, our words, or the very core, that inner part that nobody gets to see, the part we keep to ourselves, we've been corrupted. We've been spoiled. We've been broken and damaged and ruined. But I want you to see the good news. Because of what Jesus did and what he's provided, we can now participate in the divine nature, the life operating system. We don't have to stay spoiled and broken and ruined. Notice in your outlines, we participate in the divine nature, that divine life operating system, through our knowledge of him and his promises. Jesus came in grace and truth, friends, love and truth. And many of us, again, what are we looking for? We're looking for something hard, something we earn or deserve. It'll never happen. You have to accept this operating system was by God's design, by his initiation and initiative. He's provided it. You couldn't provide this for yourself. And when it comes to us needing something in life, it says whatever we need, he's already provided for life and godliness, right? So the app store is the Word of God, the Bible. What do you need? Healthier body? What do you need? Better marriage? What do you need? Sounder finances? What do you need? A mind that operates strong and healthy? What do you need? Better friendships? Whatever it is you need, the app store is God's Word. It's the Bible. And that is where we go. And when we have breakdowns and crashes because we're trying to go back and function as though we were operating according to that sin operating system that we're so used to in the past, friends, that's not the time to get upset and get mad and blame God or blame your church or blame your friends or your spouse or your kids or your job. It's time to recognize we simply need to humble ourselves and repent and draw near to God and dig in and find out. Some of us, we've been believing Satan's lie. What was Satan's lie in the very beginning to Adam and Eve? His lie was this: God's holding out on you. What you need and what you want is more than God's given you, and you can get it another way. Some of us, whether it's church, whether it's reading the Bible, praying, it grows old, right? It grows old. It gets stale. And you want to know why? I heard a statement from a Muslim, and it was so profound. And he said this. He said, the problem that we have is that we, as Americans, live in a place where life looks better than our afterlife. You want to know why we keep bucking against the new operating system? You want to know why we get weary in well-doing and we don't want to dig in to God's Word? Because when it really comes down to it, we think that what the world has to offer us is far more than what God has to offer us. We live in a place where our life looks better than our afterlife. In other words, we love this world. And we think that this life is better than the one to come. We live with this world in mind. Well, how's it going to help me here and now? And God will. However, don't forget, you're spending far more time on the other side of this world. And that's what we need to be mindful of. Think about all we will sacrifice and give up for what this world has to offer. Let me ask you this. What is it that you're not willing to give up for the Lord? Is it money? Is it sex? Is it popularity or prestige? Is it position or power? And then think about all those things and how we'll sacrifice any one of those things to get what we do want in this world. Even our families, even our very lives, if it will give us what we want. This is, friends, is why we resist. This, friends, is why we pick and choose how we want God to work in our life and how we don't. And that's the problem. Because remember, this life operating system, Jesus is Lord, not you. This life operating system is all-inclusive. It affects every area of your life, not just your Sunday morning, or not just your troubled marriage. God wants to fix it all. So in your outlines, there is a regular update that God wants to do to your operating system. He starts with the kernel, but he wants to bring in this programming of his law. Regular updates to the operating system, the applications, and the drivers through prayer, Bible reading, meditation, community learning, and serving. It's not just one thing, it's a lifestyle. See, that's where, again, people get confused. Well, I go to church and my life's no better. Friends, this assembling together is one very small piece of a larger picture. There's an entire lifestyle called Christian living where you grow up in your salvation and become all that God has for you. And friends, this is where and how it happens. In prayer, Bible reading, community learning, meditation, and so on. Serving. Romans 12 says it this way, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer, that's your free will, your bodies, that's your hardware, as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Notice that true and proper worship is not a Sunday morning singing songs and listening to a speech. True and proper worship is a lifestyle of letting Jesus rule day in and day out. Verse 2, do not conform to the pattern of this world, the old operating system, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Friends, the renewing of our mind, God wants to put what? His law in our hearts and in our minds, his code. 2 Corinthians 3 says it this way, but whenever anyone turns to the Lord, turning to is free will. Notice the Lord, though, is who we're turning to. That means he's in charge. The veil is taken away. The old operating system's taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, something we're all wanting. And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory. The word contemplate there, if you want to underline that, it means to look at, behold, and take in, and then reflect it back. So as we contemplate, as we behold and take in the glory of God and then reflect it back, it says that we are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing, meaning from one degree to another, with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So notice, I want you to circle, transformed into his image, because that is what this is supposed to look like. This isn't just you becoming a better you, a smarter you, a nicer you. This is you becoming like the Lord. In your outlines, transformation, which we refer to as God conforming, comes through the cooperative work of the Spirit and you. You see, unlike a computer, you have free will. You can decide at any point that you don't want to do this God's way. So what are you going to do with that free will? What are you going to do with God's kernel that he's offered you? And what are you going to do with the expansion, the programming that he wants to bring into your life? Are we going to cooperate with it? Or are we going to try to confine and compartmentalize certain parts of our life and say, God, you can work here and you can work here, but you can't work here. That doesn't work. The word Lord means the one in charge, the supreme authority. And the question is, who is it going to be? You? Your parents? Your friends? Culture and society? Or will it be the Lord? Let's close our eyes. If it's in your heart to make Jesus Lord of your life for the first time, or maybe as a recommitment, maybe you'd say, I believe I have the kernel, but God, I've kind of bucked against the programming part as he's tried to write his laws upon my heart. There are areas of my life I didn't want to do it God's way still. But today you sense God tugging you and saying, it's time. Renew your commitment, get back on track, and start following Jesus. If that's you, I want to invite you to pray this prayer as well as a recommitment. Let's pray together this prayer of commitment. Say, in the name of Jesus, I declare my own way is less than. It's corrupted, broken, and spoiled. And it brings death and destruction into my life and the lives of others. And I was wrong. Please forgive me. Today I declare Jesus Christ as Lord. And from this day forward, I ask you, God, to place your kernel, your new system in me, and write your code, your laws upon my heart and upon my mind, that I may do life your way at all times, in the good seasons and the bad, that I may experience your peace, your grace, your mercy, your best for my life. I believe it. I declare it. I commit to it, and I receive it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.